This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. And as we trundle towards the finishing line of the regular season, is it me or are things much tighter at the top of all three EFL divisions than we could possibly have envisaged even a month ago? It's avoiding the drop from the Sky Bet Championship that a former England captain is celebrating.
You know, if you go into League One, then, you know, you start cutting costs, there's redundancies, people lose their jobs, you know, people got families and kids to support. So there's a lot of pressure on myself as a manager to try and keep us in this league. So, to finally get there is a relief.
And we're in the presence of a Football League great.
You know, I was doing something that I loved for 20-odd years, so it never seems like a chore, even through the tough times and the difficult moments. You know, I had a huge desire to want to play games as much as I could.
It's the official EFL podcast. Joby McEnough will talk us through all the remaining issues across the EFL's three divisions and his own elevation to the pantheon of Football League greats a little bit later. But let's start in the Skybet Championship, where the three relegations have already been decided, with Peterborough United and Barnsley now confirmed to join Derby County in Skybet League One next season, which gives us the perfect excuse to talk to the Reading interim manager, Paul Ince, whose team have survived. Is it a feeling of relief, Ince, that you feel?
I think so. I think, you know, when we first came into the job, me and Alex Ray, we knew it was going to be a tough challenge. You know, at the time, the team was averaging about 0.4 points a game, which is not staying up material, to be fair. So we managed to get into 1.25. So there's been an increase in points for us. There's been in performances, have got a lot better. And that's shown in the games that we've won, you know. So I think every time, you know, you have a challenge and you think about the ramifications if you do go down, you know. And it's not just, you know, the players, it's not the managers, it's not the, you know, you've got to think about the fans, you've got to think about the staff. You know, if you go into League One, then, you know, you start cutting costs, there's redundancies, people lose their jobs, you know, people got families and kids to support. So there's a lot of pressure on myself as a manager to try and keep us in this league. So, to finally get there is a relief.
Yeah. So to that end, I mean, a very different point in your life, but I just wondered how your kind of rating of the success compares to the two Premier Leagues and two FA Cups and League Cup and European Cup Winners' Cup. Do you get anything like the same sort of sensation of satisfaction?
I do it in a different way, especially under these circumstances. You know, as I said to you before, Clem, and we've been talking over many years, and every time we meet, you keep saying, oh, when are you going to get back in, and, you know, and I'm like, I'm not too sure, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know, 8 years down the line, you know, you're managing a football team with the challenge of keeping them up in the Championship. So it's been a massive achievement. It's not a great escape, but it's just nice when you take that decision to manage a football team, because it's not easy. You know, it's not easy to go back in after 8 years. Doesn't mean I can't manage it. You know, you don't forget how to ride a bike. So, as much as people raise their eyebrows and say, oh, it's a long time, 8 years, I'm not 90, I'm in my 50s. So it's not hard. I don't forget how to manage. You know, the game hasn't changed. It's just got more staff and a sports analyst and all that stuff that I'm used to. But it was no different to when I was at Blackburn in the Premier League. So, yeah, listen, it ranks up there with an achievement. It's a different achievement, because obviously when you're playing football and you win the titles and FA Cups, it's a collective thing, Clem. You know, as a manager, it could be a really lonely job. You know, you kind of, even though you're not on your own, you are on your own, to be fair, because the pressure is always on you to provide the results. And so the fact that we've done that, you know, is very, very pleasing for me.
Yeah. You, when you were appointed, you provided for me one of the quotes of the season when you said, I was at the back sink washing me sand wedge. And when I got the phone call, at any point did you have a moment where you thought, why on earth am I doing this to myself? Where you were trading the life of playing golf and all those lovely things with the incredible pressure and scrutiny of football management?
Yeah, there was plenty of those thoughts that went through my head. And no, you're absolutely right. I was, you know, on Saturdays, it's the competition day at Tesla Golf Club. So, you know, I was looking forward to that. And then I got a phone call Friday evening. And all of a sudden, your mind just goes into a different kind of mindset. And all of a sudden, you start thinking, do you want to, am I that mad? Am I that stupid? That, do you want to go back into that? And, you know, and it took me, I mean, as much as I went to the Preston game on the Saturday, and then obviously Pranovic left on the Saturday after the game, and I was working on the training ground on the Sunday, and I'm walking on the training ground, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing? But football was my life, football was my passion. You know, I love football, and I've, you know, and just the opportunity to go back and, you know, you always analyse a team, look at the players, what you got there, have you got a good chance, evaluate, have you got a good chance of staying up? And we had some very, very good players. This team last season finished 7th in the championship with the same squad, minus one or two players. So, you know, I always thought we had a chance of staying up. But yes, I did at times think, you know, 8 years out, no grey hairs, everything's nice, sleeping at night like a baby, and all of a sudden you wake up at 4 or 5 thinking about formations and, you know, if this happens to that team and, you know, but yeah, I've done it, so that's a good thing about it.
Yeah. Do you think people on the outside just really do not grasp what is involved, Paul? That pressure that you put on yourself, that you are under. So many people who just watch from the periphery don't know all the different things that you have to deal with and manage, and probably a lot of stuff that we never get to hear about as well.
Yeah, they do. People just think it's about just, you know, going on the training pitch, coaching and picking a team to try and win on Saturday. You know, there's so much work and, you know, involved, from working from the top down to the bottom. So many people want a lot of your time, you know, to do this, to do that, functions here. You know, it's so demanding. It's actually a 24/7 job. And yeah, people can say, well, people, they get paid well. That's in the Premier League, you know, win a championship. But for me, it's not even about money. You know what I mean? It's the stress that you kind of put on yourself every day. You know, you don't sleep well at night. You know, things happen on the pitch, you get injuries, and then you've got to try and, you know, all those things, you know, especially with Reading this season, you know, it's been tough for us. We've had 4 or 5 players who've been out. You know, we had Scott Dan out for most of the season, John Swift out for the season, Andy Wigamoto out for the season. So we've been down to the bare bones, which makes the achievement even more special in my eyes. But yeah, it is demanding. You know, I'm down at Reading. I don't see my wife. I don't see my children. You know, probably once or twice a month. So, you know, we are human beings, and I'm a family man. And, you know, to not to see my family every day like I used to, you know, is a big decision to make. So, but yeah, it is demanding. But we love football. You know, that's why Roy Hodgson's still managing it at the ages at Watford.
Yeah. I mean, just so I don't have to continually pester you for the next few years, are you going back in? When are you going to get back in? Has this scratched a bit of an itch for you? Has this excited you or made you think, do you know what? I love my life outside of football. I could live the rest of my life happily without it. Where has it left you post this achievement, Paul?
I think it's left me thinking about doing it again, staying in the job. But it's also left me thinking, do I want to go through that for another, you know, because I do, because I think of myself as that. I've spent all my life playing football, you know what I mean? And I've, you know, you don't spend time with the kids and the wife, and then all of a sudden you go from football into management, and then you're away from the family. Eventually, sometime in your life, you're going to have a bit of me time, you know, with the family. And that's always been an issue for me. As I say, yeah, I've done it for 8 years and it's been great. I also need to look at next year. You know, we've still got an embargo next year at Reading. You've got 12 players out of contract now. We can only bring in loanies or free transfers. And it's going to be tough again next year. So all those things I need to look at. Because, you know, I want to give myself a fighting chance. You know, as I said, we spoke before, Clem, you know, I had to go to Macclesfield to start my management career. It wasn't easy. Everything I've been to has been a challenge. Notts County, Blackpool, MK Dons was great. We had a good team, got promoted. But every team I've been to, probably financially, it's not given me a chance to go where I want to go. And I was kind of thinking it'd be nice to have that kind of project where I could build a football team, my team, which I've not really had a chance to do. So there's a lot of thinking about it. There's a lot talking to the wife, Claire. You know, she's up in the wheel. I'm down in Reading. So it won't be easy if I do stay down at Reading. But listen, there's still a kind of, I've still got that glint in my eye that, you know, I've enjoyed it. As much as it's been tough, you know, I've really, really enjoyed it. And I've still got that smile of excitement that maybe I could, you know, get stayed back in the game. But we shall see, Glenn, we shall see.
I was going to say, so as we are talking now and you've still got two games left, you're going to leave it, get those out of the way, and then you will sit down and have dialogue with Reading, with the owners, with the CEO, and see which direction they want to go and if those values are aligned to what you want to achieve going forward.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Obviously, the next two games, you know, we've got a last home game against West Brom on Saturday, so it's always nice to go out, you know, with a win at home. But yeah, I think when you think about, you know, having this project, I've always said that for me to go back into management, it needs to be a project. You know, I've spent I look at my managerial career and it's been okay, to be fair. My win ratio has been very good. So, but I've got despondent with it, Clem. You know, because you won't get an opportunity to show, you know, what you can do as a manager. So I've always said that if I go back into it, it'll have to be a project. You know, I can't keep going to manage it and doing 1 year and losing your job. So I'll sit down with the owners and see where they want to go with it. As I said, we know next year is going to be tough because of the embargo, but if we can stay in this league next year and then obviously start spending a few quid and start building a team that can hopefully get into the Premier League. But that's my opinion. I'll sit down with the CEO and the owner and see where we go. But so it's a wonderful club, wonderful fans. Training ground's amazing. Structurally, it's perfect. It's geared to go into the Premier League. It's just, you know, things that happen straight away. And we know how tough the Championship is. You know, we know how hard it is to get out of there. So there's a long, long way to go for Reading as far as getting there. But if there's a project in place and everything's in place, then hopefully they'll get there soon.
Yeah, I'm just mesmerised by your hair. How old are you these days, did you say? How old are you now?
55.
Mate, you are right. I'm looking closely. There doesn't seem to be any grey at all.
I've dyed it this morning before I come on the show. That's what it was.
I can only dream of doing such things. Paul. Great to talk to you. Congratulations. Well done with a fantastic achievement in turning the situation around and keeping them up. Great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on the official EFL podcast.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me on, mate. See you soon.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Last Sunday night, the Grosvenor House Hotel in London played host to the annual EFL Awards. Forest Green Rovers' Kane Wilson was named the Sky Bet League 2 Player of the Year. Scott Twine of MK Dons won the same award in League 1, and there was only one likely winner in the Championship with Aleksandar Mitrovic. He's now 41 goals for promoted Fulham, helping him take home the prize. The awards recognise special achievements and exceptional contributions from the apprentices to the fans and even the owners. And there's one very special award that's handed out every year, named after one of the game's greatest ever players. The Sir Tom Finney Award is presented to a player who's made an outstanding contribution to English football and epitomises the man after which it is named. And this year it went to somebody who made more than 750 appearances for 8 clubs in all 4 tiers of the English pyramid, captaining Reading and Leighton Orient to promotions along the way. Since he's hung up his boots, Joby McEnough has made a pretty damn good fist of life in the media, including occasional appearances on the official EFL podcast. You will no doubt be expecting a sassy comment at this point, instead of which I'm going to just say, congratulations, Joby. What a magnificent accolade.
Yeah, I've been completely blown away by it, Clem. I've got to be honest. I wasn't expecting it. I did a bit of voting for this year's awards, obviously through my work, you know, with the EFL and a bit of judging. And I thought that was probably the extent of my involvement this season, I've got to be honest. And there might be a few lads who missed out on awards. I might have something to do with that. Apologies. So to get there and then actually realise I was in for an award, and of all the ones, you know, that one is a really, really special one. I think for everyone connected with the EFL, I certainly understand the significance and really taken aback. I think, again, because I retired last year and it's been almost a year since, and maybe, you know, I felt like maybe there's always someone else who's going to be retiring, who's had an amazing career as well. And maybe the ship sailed in terms of that particular award. So, yeah, absolutely delighted. And, you know, it's a real career, not just career, but life highlight for me. You know, I did put a lot into my career. I said every single minute, but I said at the awards the other day, there were a few long treks up north towards the end as, you know, the ages are rolling on and the body's getting a little bit weary that probably don't enjoy as much as the early days. But that's all, you know, part of the journey and the process. And, you know, for me to get that award was really, really special. And I had my old man with me as well. And, you know, he's been a massive supporter of my career and my life, of course, always there. And, you know, he was proud as punch as well. So absolutely delighted he was there to experience the night with me.
Yeah, looks at, he's 86, but he looks a darn sight younger than you, actually. It's a magnificent photograph. I've got to ask you, does it take outsiders recognising you for you to realise what you've achieved? When you're in the middle of it, do you not quite set it in the same context as everybody else?
No, I don't think you do, Clem. I've got to be honest. And I think that part of that is because what's never been lost on me is that, you know, I'm playing football and absolutely love playing football. I think anyone who knows me, you know, I've got a real passion for the game, and, you know, I was doing something that I loved for 20 odd years. So it never seems like a chore, even through the tough times and the difficult moments. You know, you're still effectively going out there kicking a ball around for a living. So that was never lost on me and something I always, you know, appreciated and wanted to do, and, you know, had a huge desire to want to play games as much as I could. I think when you are in it, with everything being said, you know, I did joke about the traveling, but the demands that are on you and the focus that you have to keep to maintain a career at any level, you know, throughout the game in the EFL, because it is demanding. I think you just get into that sort of tunnel vision. And if I'm being honest, you know, this season's been really nice to be able to look back on some of those achievements, because when you are playing, you don't get an opportunity to do it. And I am still relatively fresh out of the game. There are still moments that I haven't probably looked back on and enjoyed and really relived as I probably should do. But as the time goes, I certainly will. And even the video, you know, some of the clips from, you know, starting my career in Wimbledon, they're like a blur to me. So to see them, you know, flashing up was amazing. I think you do forget, you know, I think when it is a career over such a long time, there are times and moments that, yeah, you do forget. So it was really, really nice to take a little trip down memory lane and relive some of those incredible moments. And again, you know, it's about winning, yes, it's about playing football, but it's about creating memories, you know, along the way, making, you know, relationships. You know, I had Clasford Sterling, who was like a mentor and, you know, someone who without him, I certainly wouldn't have even had a career in the game, let alone achieved half the things that I did.
Sorry, who's he, Joby?
He was my youth coach in Tottenham. So he's from the Broadwater Farm Estate, which is obviously a really rough area. You know, he said in his speech that scouts, for example, wouldn't be coming down there. So he would take us out. You know, he built a football club in the local community. Wow. Got us out, you know, got us showcased. He got me into Wimbledon as an 11-year-old, got me in the shop window. His son was actually playing for Wimbledon at the time, Jude Sterling, who actually had a career at the game as well. And even after Jude got released from Wimbledon as a kid, Clasford would used to take me to training still. My parents couldn't take me because they were working. And of course, at that age, you know, young teens, it isn't seen as something you're going to go and have a career in. So he would, you know, take me, you know, we used to go and train with him all the time. You know, all my fundamentals, the foundations in the game came from him and came from Broadwater Farm. So amazing that he contributed to that piece. Brian McDermott, who I realised dreams with, you know, winning the league, getting promoted. And obviously Charlie Edinburgh, who we shared some really amazing times and highs, you know, on the pitch, but also some some real tough ones off of it and have developed a really close relationship. And that was, again, equally special that he presented me with the award. So, yeah, it was very, very emotional, Clem, I've got to be honest.
Yeah. The only thing I can compare it to is about a year ago, I had to retire my favorite pair of flip-flops. I'd had them about 15 years. They just wouldn't hold together with super glue any longer. I'd taken them around every Greek island. I'd taken them around California, the whole lot, to Miami, absolutely everywhere. And I'm getting a similar sort of vibe about this. Is that a comparison you're happy to accept, Joby?
Well, yeah, your flip-flops sound like my body towards the end, Clem, I've got to be honest. Taped up, injections, whatever it took to get out there towards the end at the grand old age of 39. But again, the love you had for those flip-flops, that's the love I've got for the game. So it gets you through, mate. You know what I mean?
We got there in the end. There might have been a few people listening to that thinking, where on earth is this analogy going? But we drew it all together towards the end because, of course, you have since transitioned into a magnificent broadcaster. And I sincerely hope that the next couple of decades keep you in the public eye like your football career did. While we've got you, it would be remiss of me not to ask you a few reasonably salient questions about the current state of play. Fulham, Mitrovic sitting on 41, two games left to go to beat Guy Whittingham's record that goes back to 92-93. Is he going to do it?
Yeah, definitely. If you've seen him play in the last few games, or even, well, the last probably 10, 12, 15 games, you'd think someone who scored as many goals as him would take his foot off the gas, but he certainly hasn't. You know, I think, again, I covered their game last night and he was bang up for it, you know, and it'd be very easy for those Fulham players to take a backward step, think the job is done. Yes, they've been promoted, but they want to go and finish the job, and he certainly wants to get the record. I saw him at the awards the other night, actually, and had a little moment with him, and you know, he definitely wants to do it. He definitely wants to get that record. And I hope he does. You know, he's been absolutely outstanding this season. I think it goes a little bit, I know it sounds silly, but under the radar a little bit, because he scored so many so early. There was this expectation that he would get, you know, 30 odd goals, or could he get 40? And it's almost, there's been an inevitability about it. But, you know, to get the numbers he has, you know, yes, he's playing in the best football team, but you know, the desire to want to keep getting them, you know, the ability to keep sticking the ball in the back of the net, you know, has been absolutely amazing. And I'd love him to get that record, you know, because he really deserves it.
For all their late equalisers and stunning comebacks, is it me or a Bournemouth making real heavy weather of getting over the line and have put themselves in a bit of a sticky situation? Because while they've won one of the last six, Forest have won eight of the last nine, and the two of them play each other next week in the penultimate game, and they're both sitting on 43 games played, and Forest are sitting 3 points behind at the moment. Do you want the run-ins just before you answer this as well? Shall I just remind everybody? Bournemouth are away at Blackburn, Forest at home, Millwall at home. Forest are at home to Swansea, away at Bournemouth, away at Hull.
Tough for Bournemouth, and I think they've put themselves in a real tricky position that they shouldn't be anywhere near, Clem. You know, they should be absolutely home and hosed by now. You know, Forest have been absolutely magnificent. I've got to tip my hat to Steve Cooper and the job that he's done there. For them to even be in with a shout of playoffs, let alone the top two, from the position they were in, you know, and obviously cementing that playoff place last night, incredible. But yeah, I think Bournemouth are going to be the ones certainly looking over their shoulders now. That game now is absolutely huge. And we talk about pressure. We talk about expectation. It is still very much on Bournemouth's shoulders. And look at the scenes after the game last night, you know, from Nottingham Forest's point of view. I think there's a real feeling now that they can go and do it. You know, you look at those run-ins. Bournemouth got two teams that are still in the mix for the playoffs. You know, Blackburn had a great result the other night to maybe get them back in the hunt. Millwall, you know, really tough to play against. Again, still in the chase. So they're two tough games. Identical goal difference as well, Clem. Bournemouth, yeah, and Forest. So
yeah.
Again, it's going to go down to the wire. And I think maybe with their track record of not getting over the line, could come back to bite Bournemouth. And I certainly wouldn't bet against a Steve Cooper side, this form that they're in at the moment, and I think the belief that's running through that football club, you know, that game's going to be absolutely monumental.
Yes, except that, I suppose the contra to this is 8 wins out of 9. Can you maintain that form for another 3 games? 11 out of 12 would be off the Richter scale. And then obviously to take it into the playoffs as well, if they had to add another 3 games to that, I mean, that would take real record book form, would it not? It's rare teams can drop so few points over a period of time like that.
Yeah, but I think if you look at the one thing I would say to contrast that point would be, this isn't just a 12-game run. You know, when you came in, I think it was 8 games into the season. So if you look at the form that they've had since he took over, you know, you're talking about a real long season's worth of work and results and performances. I certainly think they can maintain it. As I say, I think there's a real belief now in that squad. And it isn't, for me, just a good run. It's an actual amazing season that they've put together since Steve Cooper's been there. And I think certainly from their point of view, they'd be very, very confident of going to finish the job now, because they've got that momentum. We talk about it every season for a reason. You know, they are the team in form. They are the team with the good feeling. You know, Bournemouth are not. They are scrambling, struggling for points, fighting. So, yeah, I think it's going to really, really be an amazing end to the season.
Peterborough down, 8 wins in 44. Gulf just too big for them? Just shows the difference between Championship and League One?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a combination of things. I think the way that they want to play, you know, certainly earlier on in the season under Darren Ferguson, they are a good football team, but you come up against a cut above in terms of the opposition that you're facing. And also goal scoring for them was a big issue, and maybe not players proven of scoring goals at this level is something that's come back to bite them. But again, another team that, you know, I'm thinking that upon relegation will have a good year next year. For teams like Peterborough, it's about how, when we do come back up, do we make ourselves better and good enough to make sure that we can survive and then build the football club to stay in the Championship.
And Barnsley down as well. Poyraz, Baggy's departure confirmed, obviously succeeded Marcus Schopp in November. 6 wins in 44. Martin Devaney has taken over the last 3 games of the season. I mean, a couple of bits here. Stark contrast to last season when they reached the playoffs, obviously. The owners are looking for their 7th head coach in 4 years, and presumably looking at themselves as well, because one of the other clubs that they own is Nancy in France, and they were relegated on the same evening that Barnsley were. Time to have a little bit of a reset?
You'd like to think so. You know, I spoke about Poyraz, Baggy, and I don't lay too much blame at his door, Clem, I've got to be honest. As a young coach, it's a really tough gig coming into that. Listen, he said himself, he came into it with his eyes wide open. He knew the size of the task at hand, and it was always going to be an uphill struggle. And listen, they actually made a bit of a fist of it at one stage, looked like they could quite get themselves in a position to get out. The international break, I think, came at a bad time for them. Good time for Reading, got a few players back, and, you know, they obviously kicked on and got the points that they needed. Barnsley didn't on the back of that. I think when you look at the ownership, the model of the football club, and it's something we're seeing a lot more now. They have a philosophy, they have a way of doing things, and, you know, young players are absolutely huge for them, developing players, giving them opportunities and hopefully selling them on. What you don't have, unfortunately, is that experience that you need at this level. You know, it's a tough, tough league. I think that's something that's really worked against them this year. And again, with young players, you're going to have dips in form, you're going to have inconsistencies. And I think ultimately that's something that's really, really impacted how well they've, or how poorly they've done this season. So yeah, I think they need to find a better way of doing things. Otherwise, they're just going to be bouncing again between the leagues.
Sky Bet Championship fixtures this coming weekend. Sheffield United currently 6th. They travel to QPR on Friday night. And then on Saturday, it is Bournemouth travelling to Blackburn. Huddersfield are at Coventry. Forest home to Swansea City. Monday night is Fulham at home to Luton Town. And then Tuesday is that ginormous fixture between Bournemouth and Forest. Skybet League One, final round of fixtures of the regular season. I'm just going to remind everybody, the playoff final is on the 21st of May. That's a week ahead of the finals in the other two divisions. I think that's something to do with the Queen's Jubilee, isn't it? And the bank holiday weekend. We would have had a bank holiday Monday. It's got pushed back later that week so that everybody can have a long weekend the following week. So that's been brought forward. I was just looking through the fixtures there. 9 of the 12 final matches have something resting on them. And same argument about Bournemouth, Joe, but you know, 2 out of the top 3 will go up. They're separated by just 3 points. And talk about spluttering. Wigan, no wins in 5, worst run of the season. Rotherham, 4 defeats in their last 7. And even MK Dons, who had great momentum unbeaten in 15, have suddenly lost 2 of their last 3. What's going on? Is that physical fatigue? Is it mental fatigue? Is it the pressure? What is it, Joby?
All it is the pressure. That is absolutely all it is. You're talking about fantastic football teams that are littered with fantastic players for the level that have done it all season. And just as that last little bit is within sight to get over the line, strange things can happen, Clem. You know, players lose a bit of form, a little bit of anxiety, you know, just takes the edge off, you know, performance levels, maybe a bit of itchiness, you know, in terms of the crowd, bit of frustration at times. And, you know, again, it can really affect performance when you're that close to getting over the line. I think certainly, you know, in that league, whoever does do it has earned it. When you look at that table, you look how tight it is, you know, not just between those top 3 teams, but when you go a little bit further down, you know, into that playoff race, it's absolutely incredible. I think it's the league we all thought we were going to get, you know, some absolute massive clubs in there. And it certainly hasn't disappointed. But I think certainly from Wigan's point of view, very much in the box seat. But results like last night, you know, 2-0 up, looking like they were there, then to go and lose the game, you know, that just shows how much pressure can affect players at this stage of the season. You know, Rotherham looked as though they might get a win again. They get pegged back. So, listen, it's they call it squeaky bum time for a reason, Clem. And I think those clubs are certainly experiencing that right now.
Yeah, Joby alludes to the playoff positions as well. Also, as well as MK Dons in those positions, Sheffield Wednesday, Sunderland and Plymouth. Wickham Wanderers just outside. If they didn't make it, could be Adebayo Akinfenwa's final game in football this coming weekend. At the bottom, crew already down. Well, Wimbledon, no win since the 7th of December, and Doncaster, who've been in the bottom 4 all season, as good as down. And then that whole cluster of Morecambes and Fleetwoods and Gillinghams all anxiously looking ahead to this weekend, their supporters, Joby, and thinking, can we, can't we escape?
Yeah, it's probably the worst, well, most definitely the worst place to be on the last day of the season, looking over your shoulders or maybe looking at that team ahead of you, trying to get above to avoid relegation. It's the worst thing, you know, that you do experience in football. I was unfortunate enough to get relegated, and it is a real tough place to be. And again, they are not nice games, Clem. I don't care who you are, whatever level you're playing at, you know, you're going out on a Saturday and you know you need to get a result to try and stay up. You know, they are difficult games. I think when you look at Gillingham, you know, a real tough game against Rotherham to try and get something to stay up. You know, Fleetwood, again, can they get something from what is going to be a difficult game? Wimbledon, unfortunately for them, looks like, you know, although they can get to 40 points, the goal difference is going to be obviously too much for them. So, again, it's about finding a hero. It's about somebody stepping up, producing a moment of magic, something to save a football club. Because, again, to go from League One to League Two is a real big drop. And, you know, those teams are there absolutely fighting it out to try and stay up.
Yeah, I'm just looking. The top 3 are all away. I'll do them in order that they sit in the table at the moment. So Wigan have to travel to Shrewsbury. Rotherham, as you say, are at Gillingham, and MK Dons are at Plymouth, you would argue probably MK Dons have got the toughest task of all on the day, because obviously they've got to make up ground, but by the same token, Plymouth, you know, need to keep their momentum going. That is the game, isn't it?
I'd say so, I think, again, you talk about a game with so much riding on it, and you know, you touched on it already. There is so much at both ends of the table. I suppose for us, that's certainly for me, being out of the game now, that's the nice part of being a pundit and working on this side of the media. It's amazing. So many different permutations and things to keep an eye on the day. But again, that's what goes into making the leagues what they are. We always have these scenarios come the last day of the season. It's exciting, you know, for us. But again, it's about a lot of the time dealing with those pressurized situations. You know, certainly Plymouth, I've got a soft spot for Steve Schumacher, old roommate of mine. You know, it'd be great if they could get in, but they've got a real tough game with MK. You know, Wickham breathing down their necks. It's actually be the first time I hear that a team that had reached 80 points won't make the playoffs. So that just goes to show how well those teams have done from Wickham and above, and how harsh it's going to be that one team's going to have to miss out after such an incredible season.
Remiss of me not to have memorised your entire career and Shuey's entire career. Where were you two roommates together, remind me?
We had a year together at Stevenage, actually. So a lot of good away trips, those long away trips, and room time spent together in rooms talking all things football. Nothing else.
I wish I had a teaspoon to bang my glass every time you've mentioned those long distance northern away trips. I will just run through the rest of these fixtures. Wimbledon at home to Accrington Stanley. Fleetwood head to Bolton. Wickham travel to Burton. Sunderland are at Morecambe. Doncaster at Oxford. Chef Wed at home to Portsmouth. Congratulations in Sky Bet League 2 to Forest Green Rovers. Promoted though, Joby, well, really a month later than they might have been. Again, they've had another enormous splutter over the line.
Yeah, they have done. Again, a massive wobble. And I think that goes to show sometimes how difficult it can be in terms of maintaining performance levels when pretty much the job is done. And we've all known for a long time now that they will be the team that gets promoted. And when you look at them over the course of the season, they certainly have deserved to do that. But when you haven't done something, it is difficult to do it for the first time. And I think there's a lot of learning that's going to have gone on, not just, you know, from the manager, a young manager in his first job in, you know, professional management, who's done absolutely magnificently, Rob Edwards, and then also the players making that step up, Del Vince as well. And one thing I want to say for League Two, you know, Forest Green, Exeter, we've seen a lot of, and I've seen a lot of it, League Two, League One clubs, that we talk about how football clubs run themselves. You know, it's almost like a day-to-day existence and a little bit haphazard in terms of how things are done at football clubs, but not those two. You know, Exeter have gone close on a number of occasions. Forest Green have gone close. They've got a clear identity and philosophy at those football clubs. They haven't panicked when things haven't gone wrong. They've made decisions that they feel, you know, ultimately will help the football club. You know, I had a horrendous record in the playoffs as a player. So I know those Exeter City players, those that have been through that, you know, Matt Taylor, the manager as well. To go up automatically is a magnificent achievement for them. And that'll feel extra sweet off the back of those disappointments. And also Forest Green having gone close. So I just want to, again, say a big well done to those two football clubs for not just getting promoted, but the way that they go about their business. And it should be a model that other clubs follow and buy into, because it's great to see that it can be successful.
Yeah, perfectly said. And just to put the numbers to what Joby's just said, it's the fourth time in six seasons that Exeter have finished in the top seven, which is, yes, there's the disappointment of missing out, but there's also praising the consistency of the model that has been able to produce results like that. Enjoy your return, Exeter City fans, to the third tier after a 10-year absence from the last automatic place, third, down to eighth. There's a whole cluster of teams that I'm sure we'll talk about in great detail on next week's official EFL podcast. We do have to mention, though, at the bottom of the table, Oldham Athletic, 116 years of league football is over. First former Premier League club to be relegated to non-league. Joby, a sad day for those supporters.
Yeah, absolutely, Clem. And again, you know, having been through a relegation, having been through, you know, sliding out the Football League and trying to come back from it, you see how much those fans are impacted, and they're the ones who will be there still, Clem. You know, it is really, really sad to see. And one thing I will say to those fans is there is always hope. You look at Wigan, they were absolutely, you know, desperate, you know, at a time, and they look at the other end of the table in League One as though they could be the team to go up this year. So hopefully the ownership issues get resolved there and the fans can get their club back and start building it towards, you know, getting back in the league, which is where, you know, it deserves to be.
Your penultimate round of fixtures in Sky Bet League Two: Forest Green Rovers at home to Harrogate Town. It's an enormous game as well. Obviously, Exeter over the line, but they travel to Northampton, who are currently in third position. Bristol Rovers head to Rochdale. Sutton United at home to Bradford City. Swindon at home to Barrow. And a couple of games have switched to Bank Holiday Monday. Salford City against Mansfield Town and Port Vale at home to Newport County. Joby, you've made an exceptional contribution to football. You are a magnificent pundit, but you're also a top, top bloke. So thanks for joining us on the official EFL podcast.
Thank you very much, Clem. Always a pleasure, mate. And great to see you back from your holidays to nice, warmer, sunnier places. I know you were doing a little bit of work, so I don't want to say it was just a holiday, but no, great to see you back, mate.
My goodness me, you put in a shift for two whole weeks. You put one photograph on Facebook of your legs on South Beach, Miami, having a little bit of rest before catching your flight home. And as Phil Neville said to me on last week's Football Focus, you go to a warm climb, everybody thinks you're just sitting around drinking mojitos all the time. I was working, for goodness sake. Great to talk to you, mate.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
That is it for this episode. A big thank you to Joby McEnough and to Paul Ince. If you've enjoyed it, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name is Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.